Okay.
Yay.
Well, welcome everyone. Let's get started. Hello, welcome to the Personal Transformation Summit. My name is Mark Porteous. Thank you for joining us tonight. Well, we are all in for a very special treat. Tonight we'll be connecting with Sherry Bahlul, a 20-year Zen mindfulness student. Sherry is founder of Simply Celebrate, which helps you and everyone else celebrate who they are and everything they love by offering coaching, nonfiction books, and life celebration books. Sherry is the author of Simply Celebrate, 101 Ways to Turn Ordinary Days into Extraordinary Life and Present Perfection, and 127 No to Low Cost Wow Gifts They'll Never Forget. Hello, Sherry. How are you?
Hey, Mark. Hi. It's so great to be back here with you.
It's wonderful having you here. It's always wonderful to hear your voice. I appreciate all the work that you do so very much. Everything about you is radiates love, and I really enjoy spending time with you.
Oh, Mark, thank you so much. Right back at ya.
Fantastic. Thanks to hear that. Well, before we begin your workshop, I would like to ask you a few questions related to the theme of the Personal Transformation Summit, which is Together We Can Change the World by Changing Ourselves. So I'd like to start by asking you, what change would you like to see in the world?
Ah, I love that question. Well, for me, right in this moment, the biggest thing that I'm focused in is really looking at the emphasis that our culture puts on what's missing and what's lacking in life. I really feel like, especially this time of year, that the media and advertising world hold up these unrealistic images of how life should be. And I think that it's, in a lot of ways, deliberate to get people into a place of scarcity, fear, and despair. So for me, I'd like to see our world be more focused on what is, you know, where we encourage each other to truly celebrate the unique and extraordinary lives we each have, you know, no matter what they look like. So I would like to see a world in which there's more emphasis on the smallest of moment-to-moment joys. You know, like just now before I got on the call, I was joking with my son. You know, it's just a tiny moment, you know, nothing spectacular, but it was everything. And I think the more that we can focus on those sorts of things in our world, that we see more and more to love about ourselves and our lives. And so that's what I want. I want a world in which we encourage one another to just really be present and to really feel who we are and the lives we've been given, no matter what the circumstance.
That's wonderful. And that's a great message any time of year, but so perfectly timed for the holidays between the time of giving thanks and the time of Christmas. So a great time for this message. So my next question is, what action are you taking personally to embody the change that you want to see?
Yeah, I love that you have the word action in there because I think that's really important. And one of the things that I have learned over and over again is that it really takes a constant refocusing of my attention away from that place of what's wrong and onto what's right. There's a book by Rick Hansen called Buddha's Brain, and he talks about how the mind is like Teflon for the good things and Velcro for the bad. And to me, what that says is that I need to practice joy every moment of the day, or else my monkey mind is just going to keep feeding me all of that scarcity and fear and despair. So the actions I take, I consciously start every day with meditation, with yoga, and with a gratitude list. And I also think of at least three people that I could offer a kindness to during that day. You know, and it's very simple things, like maybe just sending a greeting card, or I love to do audio messages for people, or just send people a poem that makes me think of them. And then throughout the day, I have other practices that sort of help me remember to stay focused on the good, you know, trying to get those Teflon feelings to latch on. I listen to these audio recordings that I make for myself that sort of are like my own sort of coaching of myself, just sort of encouraging me about the kind of life I want to live. I stay connected to, you know, people like you and a lot of the other people who I know are on the line tonight who are just kindred spirits in this world of really wanting to share inspiration and poetry and a feeling of being alive in life. And I have some other practices too, but I'm going to save those and share them later in the call.
Well, perfect. That'll actually lead right into my next question, which is what would you like to share with others? And you've already begun, and you can just take it from there.
Yes, I love that too, because for me what's so important is to be part of an ongoing conversation about celebration as an antidote to a mindset about what is missing in life. So again, instead of focusing on what's wrong or what isn't working, I want to be a part of like a huge collective of people, you know, like everybody who participated in your summit, both the people who were speaking and people who were participating on the calls, who are really focused on turning their attention moment to moment to recognizing what is vital and alive within each of us. I think, you know, and I know this because it's been my own experience, that when we celebrate who we are and what we love, you know, really especially the things that we love in life, everything starts to feel so amazing. So I've seen in my own life, and I've seen this with other people, that our lives don't have to look the way that we've always imagined in order for them to feel the way that we've always wanted. So that's what I'm hoping for.
I love it, Sherry. Well, that's really a perfect lead-in to your workshop and what you're going to share with us this evening.
Yay, shall I just hop on in?
I would love that. If you want to open up if you have any, if you want to ask anybody anything, or you take it. It's all you now.
Oh, great. Well, I think the first thing I really want to say is thank you to everyone who's on the call. It means so much to me. I was talking with someone today about this, that doing this kind of call is a part of my spiritual practice. It's something that helps me return to something that is really important in me. And the fact that other people are showing up is a huge support to me. And in return, you know, of course, I really hope that my being here will provide something for you, you know. And there's so many things that people could be doing, especially right now. It's such a busy time of year. So I really want you to know how grateful I am just that you cleared the space in your schedule. And I hope that the next 45 minutes we're together will just provide hopefully some thought-provoking things and also just a resting place, because this can be such a crazy, frantic time of year for a lot of us. And I just really hope that having this time together, we can all sort of just relax into a sort of letting go kind of place. And in order to really encourage that, I want to start our workshop with a really short 3-minute meditation. But before I do that, I'm going to share one of my favorite quotes with you, and something that just for all of us to sort of carry with us in this time that we'll be together. This is a quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson, and he said, "If the stars should appear but one night every 1,000 years, how man would marvel and adore." And this is one of my all-time favorite quotes because it speaks to that experience of stepping back and being able to see life anew. I'm just going to actually pause for a moment to think about that. Like, if you could imagine, like, what the sky looks like full of stars, and say that happened once in our lifetime, like, we'd be planning for years to be able to show up for that. And to see it would just be this most magnificent thing. And so to be able to recognize the extraordinary in those sorts of things that may have become ordinary to us, I think is one of the best things that we can do for ourselves. So it's really as much as we can to seize every chance we have to remind ourselves of that when we're really connected, nothing is ordinary. And so those of you who have visited my website and seen the video on my homepage, you already know this, but I believe that the real secret to life is that an extraordinary life is made up of extraordinary moments. And when we seek to create extraordinary moments, it's absolutely amazing how they end up stringing together to form an extraordinary day. And then those days string together to form an extraordinary week, an extraordinary month, and years. And so really one of my big intentions for tonight, right here, right now, is to just practice together to see if we can find a tiny bit of the extraordinary in the ordinary. So during this 3-minute meditation, I'm just going to really encourage everyone, including myself, not to just sort of ho-hum our way through it. Oh, here we go, another meditation, been there, done that. But really to see if we can all bring our attention 100% to where we are. And from that place, really watch what happens. So for everybody who's not driving, you can gently close your eyes and just get comfortable however you're positioned. Really start to connect to your body, to the air around you, to the solid earth beneath us all. And just start to focus on your breath, breathing in and breathing out. We're not doing anything. We're not trying to get anywhere. Just watching. What does it feel like as the breath is entering your body and leaving your body? And just gently let go of any thoughts that are in your mind. They'll come, they'll go like clouds in the sky. It's perfectly fine. Just keep returning to your breath gently. If you're noticing any tension or tightness in your body, you can breathe into that space and see if that helps to just release some of the tension. And if it doesn't, that's fine too. Just breathing in and breathing out. Breathing in and breathing out. Can you keep your focus on your breath? And if you can't, that's fine. If you realize your mind is strayed, gently just return back to your breath. This is a practice of no right, no wrong. Nothing to think about, nothing to be, nothing to do. Everything is completely, completely fine in this moment. All of us being present with whatever's here for us. And now, just as you're breathing, I'm wondering if you're noticing anything that you hadn't noticed 10 minutes ago. Maybe you're aware of your beating heart, or of the air around you. Maybe you're conscious about certain sounds in your household, the feel of your toes. If you put your attention on your toes right now, do they seem just a little extraordinary to you? Maybe you're aware that this 3 minutes seems like a really long time. Can you see how having the spaciousness of time in only 3 minutes is pretty extraordinary? Sometimes time just flies by, hours go by. These few minutes, we're able to just really be here and be present. Can you breathe into the sense of spaciousness, a sense of abundance of time? Breathing in and breathing out. For me, I'm noticing that this is kind of an abundance in itself. Not having to be anything for anyone in this moment. Just allowing ourselves to trust that here right now we have everything we need. There's an abundance of breath. And while all of us may feel certain scarcities and fear in other areas of our lives, right here, right now, we're abundant with breath. We are abundant with time, and we are abundant with a kindred community. There's a celebration in being alive in this body, in all of who we are. We're going to let the next 45 minutes unfold in whatever way they do, and just trust that whatever happens, whatever we're thinking, whatever we're feeling throughout this workshop is exactly what we need in this moment. So in a moment, I'm going to have you open your eyes. Take one more breath in and out. And then open your eyes. So For me, that simple 3-minute meditation is a really small way of connecting to what is possible in a short amount of time. This feeling of abundance of time, a reconnection to my body, to a larger perspective. And it's always such a teaching lesson to me that I can have something that I want in such a short amount of time. You know, that the feeling of expansiveness isn't as far away as my mind will often make me believe. And this is one of the things that I hope we'll be able to experience in some other ways throughout the class today, because it's really important to me in my own life that the things can be available right here, right now. So this class is titled Celebration as an Antidote to Scarcity, Fear, and Despair. And I thought it would be fitting that before we actually jump into some of the exercises I want to share with you, that I would actually share with you a little of my own story of scarcity and fear. Coming to a place of celebration is truly for me a lifelong moment-to-moment practice. And as I was saying earlier, I think that the concept of scarcity is really common to all humans, and especially in our culture. I was talking about those messages of scarcity that are thrown at us all the time. And I know for a fact, because I was in advertising and PR for a long time, that many products and services are sold consciously on the basis of what's called pain points. So, you know, you could also call these scarcity points or places of fear and despair. You know, not enough money, not enough love, not enough friends, life doesn't look the way it's supposed to, something's wrong, and we need to change it. So in some ways, I think these messages are such a part of our lives that they're almost like water we swim in. You know, it can be hard to recognize them as beliefs and to see that they really aren't fact, but they're stories that are created. And I've really been looking at how scarcity and fear go hand in hand. Even if we don't recognize it, when we're feeling lack, there's usually an underlying fear attached to that lack. You know, the holidays are coming, money is tight. You know, how will I find the resources for the cooking and gifts and travel? And if I don't do these things, what will happen? Will people be upset with me? How will my relationships be affected? What will people think of me? And it's been my own experience over and over again that if I don't keep an eye on scarcity and fear, they actually can lead to a real deep sense of despair or hopelessness. And that's something that I've actually looked at quite a lot in my life. When I was growing up, I was one of those kids whom everybody thought I was naturally happy and optimistic. You know, I had this cheerful veneer that I wore for the world. And it wasn't all fake by any means, but there was a lot more going on for me than I allowed the world to see. My parents were divorced, and my mother carried all of the weight of raising 3 kids, and she just had a high school education herself. We seldom saw my father, and he didn't help her out at all, really, financially. So I really see, I mean, she did this Herculean job, and I know she did the very best she could. But as a young kid, I really felt my dad's absence, and I really felt my mom's struggles. She worked really long hours. She was gone a lot. I was often really lonely at home. You know, and I can remember just this intense feeling of longing for the kind of family that I imagined other kids had. You know, like I would imagine everybody sitting around the dinner table at night and sharing stories about their day and, you know, just going on vacations and the way that it must look for other people. And we didn't go hungry. We had a warm, safe home. But money was tight, and, you know, there wasn't money for, you know, the latest clothes or family trips. And I think that sort of kicked off for me this process of, like, starting to compare myself to the other kids a lot. And I also started to expect more and more of myself, I think, in order to make up for what I felt like was missing. So I had to keep getting better and better grades. I had to be more in clubs, be in more of the clubs at school. I felt like I had to, like, continually try and win things and be more perfect. And that bar just kept getting higher and higher, and it seemed like the underlying fear got more and more intense for me. And this continued through college and onto my first job. I was always on the outside, you know, having fun. There was a surface fun, but on the inside, it felt like I was falling into a deeper and deeper sense of despair that my life wasn't right. It felt like I had somehow missed this train that I was supposed to be on and was just riding steadily along to some barren and scary darkness. And the result for me was a deep depression that I couldn't get out of. The worst of it was when I moved up to San Francisco with a boyfriend, and we broke up after about a year. I was just completely devastated. It just seemed like one more loss, one more place for me in seeing what was wrong with me and what I didn't have. And I just started to feel like I was getting closed in by these iron walls. I couldn't see anything. And fortunately, as life often does, there was this bit of grace that dropped in during that time, and a friend of mine gave me a book by my current teacher, Sherry Huber. And that book led me to take a meditation class. And I will never forget this moment. During this class, you know, they were doing just like we were just doing earlier, just breathing in and breathing out, focusing on the breath. And I remember so clearly that there was this one in-breath I had, and I didn't feel any pain. And that was the first time I could remember in a long time that I didn't feel trapped in pain. It was just this huge, I mean, it probably took like a tiny bit of a second, but it was so huge for me. And that experience of just one moment of being free was phenomenal. It shifted everything for me. Until then, I had thought that the depression and the anxiety were like truly solid iron walls. But that moment of freedom was something that really broke that. And I remember going around my life the next day and noticing what felt like these tiny pinpricks of light that could come in those iron walls. You know, like I would pick up, I had a tiny gray kitten during that time, and I just hold her, and I can remember like how it felt to have her purring against my belly. And I can remember making toast, which I love, and just really tasting the jam on that warm toast. And I had these beautiful windows in my apartment, and I could just remember the way that the light was playing on the walls. And each of those things was like a pinprick in the iron walls that were around me. And I saw so clearly that there could be these moments of joy within what I had thought was this complete scarcity. Those pinpricks were void of fear or despair. They just felt so open and alive. And it helped me to think about turning my attention more and more to experience these moments, these tiny pinpricks. And from that, I think it was just this natural step then to realize that I could actually start creating those moments consciously. So the more I started playing around with this, and of course now we're talking, I mean, this is years of looking at this sort of thing, that practice of movement from not enough to just enough to a feeling of overflowing abundance kept happening over and over again. This whole idea of going from scarcity to abundance has really been my central practice. And it was and it is, and it will probably, I can't imagine that it won't always be a moment-to-moment practice. I really believe that we change our lives only by changing singular moments. So my hope for us tonight is that we can explore these tiny movements together. You know, I know that there's a lot of different kinds of people on the line, and we're all in very different places. We have very different content around it all. But I really believe that the process for moving out of scarcity and fear might be very similar for all of us. I feel like there's tools and techniques that really help no matter what the content, and actually no matter how severe it feels. So two things I'm certain of are that the movement from scarcity to abundance is a practice, and that we can become our own best friend and support in that practice, you know, which to me is grounded in the idea that seeking and creating these pinpricks of light in our lives creates these extraordinary moments of being alive. And those extraordinary moments, strung together, create an extraordinary life. So I'm really grateful to all of you for patiently listening to all of that, and also just for walking through this with me tonight and being willing just to see what happens. So in light of all that, I'd love to use the rest of this workshop time for two or three exercises that really put into practice the idea of looking for pinpricks of light. And because the holidays are coming up very quickly, I'm going to bring some of that in, too, to use them as part of our path tonight. So certainly there's a lot of joy at the holidays, and I know that, and I experience that myself. But I also know that it can also be a time of great stress for people. You know, I mentioned this earlier, that it can bring up a lot of extra expenditures, like travel and gifts and parties and dinners. it can bring up, you know, really old seated family issues. It can bring up a scarcity of time, fear of not enough. And, you know, often there's that, these pictures, like, you know, the sort of It's a Wonderful Life or Norman Rockwell pictures that are put out there that we compare our lives to. So I think for a lot of people, there is that joy, but this can also be a really lonely time of year. So remember, I was telling you a little bit about my own story of feeling lonely with my family. And the holidays were especially hard for me because it seemed like, I mean, now looking back, I see this, that my attention was always on what was missing. You know, instead of being able to focus on everything I did have, it was always about, you know, what I imagined other people had, what it would have been like if I had, you know, this kind of family or my father was there or this or that. So I'm hoping that we can take a few steps together to lead us on a path away from the sort of scarcity and stress and rush of the holidays to someplace that feels like authentic celebration. So when I was first planning this workshop and I was thinking about what kind of exercises that I could bring, since the title was, you know, Scarcity, Fear, and Despair, that I was going to offer some antidotes to that, I wanted to do, an exercise for each of one of those. But then when I really started looking deeply at it for myself, I really saw that in my own life, when I can nip that feeling of scarcity in the bud, that then there's no onward march to fear, and then no onward march to that prolonged fear, which leads to despair. And so it really seemed most important to me in my own life, and also to offer to you tonight, to really stay with that so that we can really stay with those initial feelings of scarcity and nip those in the bud. So the first exercise, and I should say, I hope, I know in my emails I asked people to bring pen and paper, but I'm not sure if everyone got that. So I'm going to have us writing things, so this would be a really good time while I'm sort of introducing this exercise. If people don't have anything to write on or with, if you can grab that, that would be really great, unless you're driving. If you're driving, you can just listen in, and then maybe later on you can jot these things down. So one of the first places I started creating pinpricks of light turned out to be something that sounds kind of counterintuitive, but you all probably know that it's not, which was by giving. So it was, you know, by getting my attention off myself and onto others. I was really lucky because at the time I happened to be taking a class that sort of inspired me to start creating a lot of personal cards and gifts for people, and it actually led me to start a business making one-of-a-kind celebration books. And these books contain stories, photos, and wishes from someone's closest friends and family. It's a lot of like the things that people would say at a funeral, but people get to say them now. And these books, for me, were just such a godsend because they became such an education for me in creating light. Every book I made just felt like Christmas does, you know, like Christmas morning, that being immersed in and facilitating all of that love was just this amazing experience. And I got to see, whether I was creating them for, you know, for people who were purchasing them that, you know, I didn't even know them, or whether I was creating them for people in my own life, I really got to see that generosity and focusing on other people was one of the huge secrets to all of this. And one of the things that people do in these celebration books I create is that I have them make lists of things they love about the recipient. And I call this a love list. And I think there's probably a number of people on the phone tonight who may be familiar with the love list, and maybe some who aren't. But basically, it's just a brainstorm list of what we love about someone. And I'm going to have us just experiment with this right now. So whether you've ever made one before or you haven't, hopefully it'll be just as effective. I've found in my life that I've made just dozens and dozens and dozens of love lists, and I never get tired of it, and it never loses its power. So we're just going to right now just think about someone in your life. And it could be anybody at all. It could be someone that you see every day, someone you haven't seen in years. Anyone at all that you might want to just do a little brainstorm of what you love about them. And what we're going to do is we're just going to take a few minutes, maybe 3 or 4 minutes, and we're all just going to just quietly work on our own love list about the person on our mind. And my best encouragement is just not to think too much about it. You know, don't let anything be too silly or too sweet or too this or too that. Just whatever comes to mind, just jot it down. So I'm going to ring a bell that hopefully you can hear. And if not, I'll say time up. But I'm going to ring a bell to start. I'm going to ring a bell to end. And in between, we're just going to jot down some lists. And Mark, maybe what I'll do just right now is just ask to see if anybody has any questions before we start, just to make sure that it's clear what we're doing.
Perfect.
Anybody lighting up?
We do actually. We have a area code 512 that is unmuted. Did you want to ask a question?
I'll wait till later.
You're welcome to ask now if you want, since you're unmuted.
No, I'll wait.
Okay.
But while I'm there, I'll give you a hug. How's that?
You're giving me a hug right now?
Yeah, I am.
I love that. Who is this? What 512?
This is Nancy from the EIA conference who kept giving you a hug.
Oh, Nancy. Hello. What a surprise and joy.
Yeah, so I'm just sending you my love.
Oh, that's such a delight. Oh, I get the first love list item of everybody. I love that. Thank you, Nancy. So good to have you here.
Thank you.
And whenever you're ready to ask a question, you can always star six yourself again and unmute, and we'll take your hand.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for the hug.
Oh, Mark, you get one too.
I felt it. I thought I was in there. Thanks.
Okay, well, I didn't want you to feel like I left you out.
Nancy, you're such a good hugger. Do you just want to give one to everyone on the line right now?
I think I should. Everyone deserves a hug tonight. So just y'all, I'm giving you a big hug. How's that?
I love that. It's a great way. It's a great way actually to launch into this exercise, I think. You know, I mean, how wonderful to sort of receive that kind of love from somebody, you know, before we're about to focus on somebody else that we love. So thank you. That was perfect timing.
It gets you in the spirit of love, and now you can give it back to somebody else.
Yay. Well, great. It sounds like maybe everybody's kind of, I mean, it's a pretty simple exercise, and it's one of the things that I love so much about it is actually, you know, it's not very complicated at all, and yet the impact is so amazing. So, Mark, we okay to go ahead and just start?
Yep, nobody else is unmuted. I'm going to mute her again, and we're all set.
Okay, so I'm going to ring a bell. Don't worry about the time. I'll keep track. And, again, you're just going to let your mind go. Think of somebody that you just really love, and you want to just think of all the reasons you love them. It can include memories of times you've shared, special quirks that they have, anything like that. Okay, I'm going to start. Okay. So I don't know about you guys, how that went for you, and I'll open up the lines in just a minute to hear. But for me, it never ceases to amaze me, like how uplifting that is. I really, and just in those few minutes, again, it's amazing what can happen in a few minutes, like just how wonderful it can feel to spend a couple minutes doing that. And, you know, I kept saying when I was promoting this workshop that I would, you know, keep relating it to the holidays, and I really want to just make this obvious that, you know, making these kinds of love lists is not only a great way to combat that feeling of scarcity within us, the sort of emotional kind, but also financially. Like, so if you're strapped for cash anytime and you know, really want to give a special gift, a love list is just an amazing gift to give. You already have the beginnings of a really amazing gift right in front of you. I mean, for maybe for a lot of you, you already have something that you could just after the call read or give to somebody. But if you wanted to, you could also continue to add to it. And on my website, I actually share a lot of different kinds of examples of how you could present a love list. You know, just for instance, you could make it into tiny slips of paper, you know, put each one on a piece of paper and, you know, give somebody one each day in the mail, or you could create a scroll, or you could, you know, I've had my boyfriend actually made me fortune cookies and slipped them in, each one in there. And there's so many different ways to present them. And I'll actually, at the end of the call, I'll give you a link to that so you can see some different ways. But, you know, hopefully, maybe some of you during this short time were able to experience how powerful this sort of thing can be and can maybe even imagine, you know, what a great gift it might make. And so if I'm just wondering if anybody, you know, had any experiences and they don't have, you know, maybe it didn't work for you, maybe you didn't get it, or maybe something else came up for you, some thought or some insight, but I would love to hear if anybody had any thoughts.
If you want to be heard, just hit *6 on your line, you'll be unmuted, and then I can call you by area code. And while we're waiting to see if anyone else has a comment, I just wanted to say it was fun because it started off with just very general things that I loved about this person. And then as those came out, it got more and more specific about why those things meant so much to me. And so just being a good mother, it was the different things that she did as a great mother. So it was really neat to go through that exercise with you again.
Oh, I love that. Do you think you'd be willing to share one or two things? You don't have to if it's too personal.
Absolutely. It was about my wife, who I just love so very much. And I started off slow because the first thing had to be the most important. So did I want it to be how strong she is, how smart she is, how beautiful she is? So I had a hard time getting started, but then once I put out the first word, then they kind of came, and loving and caring. But it's not just how caring she is, it's the different things that she does to show that she's caring. You know, all the efforts that she does as a mother, the feeding the kids, the support that she gives to me, it's amazing how much she can give. So as I started, it was like a waterfall. It started off with just a trickle, and then it turned into a waterfall where I kept writing, and I look forward to continuing to write. So thank you.
I love that.
It's nice to feel it, and it'll be really fun to share it. Thank you.
I'm glad you're going to. So, yeah, I can presume you're going to actually continue it and give it to her.
Absolutely, and I'll check out your website and the link to find out some of my creative ways of doing that.
Yeah, and one of the things that I love about what you said that I think is one of the things that often happens when people are making these lists is oftentimes the things that people, you know, as like you said, as you keep writing, as you kept thinking, sometimes things get smaller and smaller, but actually bigger and bigger, too, at the same time. Like, they become, like, the most, again, you know, we're back to that. It's like it can be the most sort of ordinary, everyday thing, but we get the chance to see how meaningful that really is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's the other thing that sort of happens is that the ability then to notice, really to notice, like, how important these small moments of our lives are and what we give to each other when we don't even really know it. You know, or consciously know it.
Definitely. Well, I've got two other callers. The first one to come on was area code 303.
Hi.
Hi. Who's this?
My name's Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sherry. Actually, I have done these love lists before because I am a follower of your site and your blog.
Oh, yay.
So I wanted to share actually about the first time I did the love list, because I actually did them for three different people. I did them for my mom, my daughter, and my husband. And then I was feeling kind of self-conscious about it, so I didn't tell anybody. And about, I would say, like 3 months later, I found them, and I was it made me feel really good that I had written those things. So I shared them, and they were very well received. It made everyone feel really awesome that I got to write those things out about them. So I was just thinking about that as I was writing another love list for my husband, and I was thinking about how I felt kind of silly at first, you know, like kind of, oh, you're so wonderful, but it really does make a difference.
Oh, thank you so much for saying these things and for, you know, letting us know your experience, because I am especially happy to hear what you just said about, you know, it can feel a little funny. And I think it can also be a very vulnerable thing to give to somebody, and I'm so glad that you said that, you know.
Yeah, it definitely surprised me that I felt like that. But giving it to somebody, showing them, reading it to them, it, like, all of that is erased. You just feel so good about it.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I'm just so thrilled that you spoke up and said that. It's so great. You're going to give your husband the one that you just made, do you think?
I'm sorry?
Do you think you'll continue the one for your husband and give it to him?
Yeah, I probably will. I'm already pretty happy with it, so.
Oh, yay. Oh, thanks so much, Sarah.
You're welcome.
So next on the line, we have Erica 407, I believe.
Hey, guys, it's Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi, I just love this exercise, and I modified it a little bit for myself today. I actually made a love list for me. And
yay! Oh, wait, I just want to stop you there. I love that. You did?
Thank you, and I kind of felt a little silly saying that, wondering, you know, gosh, what are people going to think we're talking about sharing love with others? But one of my biggest goals for myself over the last several years has been being able to be present with loving and acknowledging myself. So the list tonight kind of turned into the ways I've honored myself this week, and the different ways that I've shown myself love, and I feel like it's something I'm going to post maybe on my mirror and just look at it to continue to remind me of the value of self-care and the ways I do that.
Carrie, I am so happy not only that you did that, but that you were so courageous in sharing that, because what a wonderful thing. And in fact, you know, for all of us, like, to do that, I just think that's marvelous.
Well, thank you for acknowledging that and letting me share.
Yay! Oh, thank you so much. That was great.
You're welcome.
Nice job, Carrie. You are loved.
Thank you.
I know. Isn't she? Carrie, just so people know, I met Carrie through the Transformation Summit that Mark organized, and have just loved, I mean, just love the warmth and the attention that you bring to what you just said, especially about really paying attention and, you know, not only bringing that love to the outside world, but back to ourselves, you know, because if we don't have it there, there's really nothing to give.
Absolutely. It's got to start there. I always compare it to the flight attendant. And they always, when they talk about the oxygen mask coming down in case of emergency, take care of yourself first.
Yes.
We really have to do that. If we don't get that oxygen ourselves, then there's no way we can take care of anyone else.
I love it.
We've got another caller from area code 415.
All right.
So,
hey.
Hi.
I think I recognize that beautiful voice.
Hi, sweetheart.
It's my friend Suki.
Hi, honey.
Hi.
I was writing a love list to Lila, my granddaughter. You know, is age 7. And so one of the things I wrote down was her honesty. And then I realized that I, because she's seven, but I think this works for everybody, that I wanted her to know what I meant by that. So I wrote down a story about a time that I felt she taught me about honesty.
Oh, I love that.
And it took me right back to sitting on the bed with her. I had bought her a hat, and she opened it and looked at it, and it tried it on, and it was too small. So I said, oh, honey, Grandma will buy you another hat. And she was very quiet. And we sat there for a minute, and I said, well, is there something wrong? Is there something that you want to tell me? And she was quiet, and she said, I'm a little bit afraid to tell you.
Oh.
And I said, well, Grandma would very much like you to tell her. I said, I want you to be able to tell me anything. And she said, I don't want you to buy me another hat. I hate this hat.
She did?
Yeah.
Oh. And
it was just such a lovely moment because that we were able to share, because honesty is telling, you know, trying to be truthful in our lives is one of the main things that I try to do in my life and keep working at. And it was just so lovely to have, then she was probably five, you know, when this happened. So I just got to live it all over again, and I'm so looking forward to sending it to her.
Oh, and Sticky, there are two things that I have to say. One is I love that you added that story piece into it, and I think that's such a great thing, you know, for people to bring into the love list. I love that, you know. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is that I have to say is, this is kind of personal for people, but I actually did my love list for you because, you know, you're moving and you're on my mind right now.
Aww.
But one of the biggest things that was one of the most meaningful things that I put on the list about you was your honesty.
Oh, how synchronistic.
I know. I just love that. So I just, that's so beautiful. I'm not going to tell you what else is on the list now. You'll have to wait. But
I'll look forward to it.
But I love that. Thank you so much for bringing in that idea, too. That, I mean, of course, we could do these lists in any way we want. You know, they don't have to just be like 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, they could be stories. They could be visual.
Yeah,
I just love that you put your own list on.
Personal list. That's great.
What did you say?
They're our personal list. That's great in how we do it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That your own unique personality is obviously going to come out in doing it.
Great.
Oh, I love that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I wanted to add how wonderful it was for you to share that such an important lesson with your granddaughter, not once but twice, you know, to go through the same story and to reemphasize the importance of being honest. And so many of us try to teach our children that, but then when they are honest, they get punished for it. So it was really nice to hear that.
Yes, absolutely. And that I got to learn the lesson right along with her all over again, truly.
And that we all got to learn it again. I mean, that's what's mm-hmm. so beautiful, too, with you sharing it.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about the whole, you know, the brain is Velcro for the bad stuff and Teflon for the good stuff. And it's like, here you are reinforcing.
Yeah. Well, it feels good.
Yay.
Thank you so much. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
And Carrie, you're still off of mute. Did you want to be off of mute? Did you need to bring up something, or did I mute you back?
No, you're welcome to be back.
Oh, that's so fun. I think maybe in the interest of time, we better move on so that we at least get the a second exercise in that I really want to share.
Wonderful. We're ready.
And then we'll hopefully have some time after that, and I'd love to hear from more people if they're so inclined. So this is so much fun, and this next exercise is also something that maybe people have been following me or definitely people who have been coaching clients of mine have done, but again, it's something that we could do over and over again. And here's just a short backstory for this. When my son was 3, it was his birthday, and, you know, I did that thing that we always do, which is, you know, close your eyes, make a wish before you blow out the candles on the cake, and, you know, he did. And when he opened his eyes, I whispered, "What did you wish for?" And he said, "A birthday cake." And I just, that's like one of the stories for me. It's like, I'll never, ever, ever forget again that moment of how that felt for me, that my son at 3 years old, you know, was already like wishing for what he already had. Like, he was so brilliant. And so often now when I look at him, I carry that story with me all the time, and I'll just look at him and I'll wish for a wonderful, witty son who lights up my life, and voila, you know, there he is right in front of me. And when we think about it, how many other things are like this in our lives? You know, what kind of magic is going around unnoticed and unseen by us moment to moment because maybe we're in our heads looking at these pictures of something else that we, you know, are longing to have. And so when I'm working with coaching clients, this is one of my very favorite exercises to do that kind of lands us in this place of seeing what is right here in front of us. So I am going to have you guys pull out your pens and paper again, and I'm going to ring a bell again, and you'll just start wishing for things. But everything that you wish for has to be something that's already in your life right now. You know, and as we're first getting going, I'll start off with some things that that I suspect we might all have, and then I'll keep quiet so you can keep wishing. And I'm go ahead and start, unless if there's any questions about this before we go, I'm happy to answer anything. How are we looking, Mark?
Nobody's got their hand raised.
Yeah. I mean, once again, the thing that I love about these exercises is they are so simple and that they're repeatable over and over again. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead. I got to get my paper out so I can participate for a few guys. And then I'll ring the bell and get us started. I wish to know what it feels like to have the sun on my face. I wish for the ability to hear car tires in the rain, the sound of piano from a house I pass by, crickets in the darkness. I wish for running water in the place where I live. I wish for a child or a furry friend in my life who always makes me smile. I wish for a day in which I have just 3 minutes to meditate to offer that gift to myself. And now we'll just kind of have a few moments of silence and we can all keep wishing for things. And if you're inclined as you're wishing, you can keep writing as I'm talking. You can bring in some holiday things in order to really ground yourself in the holidays. So you might wish for a favorite ornament that you always hang on the tree, or a special Hanukkah decoration at your temple. You might wish for some special food that always comes out at the holidays, or someone special that you share the holidays with. You might wish for an event that you enjoy annually. So you can include the holidays in your wishing. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, I'm running out of battery on my phone, and I tried to switch the phones, and I thought I lost all of you. Hopefully everybody's just been wishing while I've been running around, wishing for a phone with battery.
And obviously you got your wish, too.
Well, I hope so. I had to switch back, but I think I've got enough to keep us going.
I'm on my phone, too.
I love it when things like that happen. It just brings everything to this exciting place. So, oh, I didn't ring. Let me ring the bell. Oh, excuse me. I'm going to, two things I'm wondering. One is, well, I know we're getting short on time, but I'm happy to stay a few minutes over. And Mark, I'm wondering, would that be okay with you, or do we need to wrap it up?
Your time is appreciated, whatever you want to do.
So I know that other people may have to go, and I apologize if that's the case. But if not, if you can stick around for just a few more minutes, I'd love to wrap up. I have one more thing I wanted to say, and then I'd love to open up the lines. So thank you, Mark. So one of the things I just wanted to say is that, you know, I've mentioned throughout this call some of my own sadness that happened at the holidays when I was younger. And the thing that's so spectacular to me, and I was actually doing a lot of wishing around the holidays right now because there are so many things I have now that I really love about the holidays. They're actually my favorite time of year now because at Christmas time, my ex-husband and his dad and my son and my beau of 7 years, we all traveled to my mom's house in Ohio to celebrate the holidays, Christmas, Hanukkah, everything else that's going on. And, you know, obviously it's an unconventional group of people, and it's not exactly, you know, what you might see in rock wall painting, but it's my crew. And I just love them so much, and it never fails when I'm, you know, thinking about how I used to wish for this particular kind of marriage and family and picket fence kind of life, but what I've got is just absolutely extraordinary. And it's the perfect example, again, that things don't have to look the way that we imagine for them to feel the way that we always wanted. Our holidays are just filled with joking and laughter, and we have theme nights and all this fun, and it's just like I always wanted to feel. So I was feeling all choked up because that came up a lot for me when I was just doing my wishing, and I just really wanted to share that. And so I would love to hear if anybody had, it doesn't have to be, you know, specifically about the wishing, it could be anything we've talked about tonight, but if anybody had anything they wanted to share about this exercise or anything else.
Just hit *6 on your phones and that'll unmute you. A whole bunch of quiet people on the line.
That's absolutely fine. Yeah, absolutely no pressure at all. And also, I totally understand because we're going over. But I know, hey, Nancy, are you still out there? Did you want to say something?
Is Erica 303? She's on the line.
Yeah, I'm back. Is that okay?
Of course.
I don't want to take up anyone else's space.
No, come on back.
I just wanted to say that I think that this is a perfect thing for me right now in my life.
Okay.
I currently live in Colorado, but I'm originally from California, Northern California, and I have been missing it so much, missing my family, missing my friends, missing, you know, everything that I was used to, and I've been wanting to go back. And it's really made it so that I don't really find myself happy here. And going through this list, I'm realizing that I do have everything I need here. I'm happy. You know, there's nothing wrong with being here. Everything I wished for, I have. And so I think it came at a perfect time for me to really, you know, see what I have and what I, you know, am grateful for here. I've been so busy thinking about other things, you know, that it's very helpful.
Oh, that is so wonderful. Oh, that just makes me feel so happy. Because, of course, we all do that, right? I mean, you're not alone in this. This is, I think it's what we're taught sort of subconsciously in a lot of ways. And, oh, that's so beautiful.
Yes, I did want to thank you for that because it's really helping right now.
Oh, and maybe you could take that list and post it somewhere for yourself before you decorate it, or, you know, keep it in your consciousness somehow.
Definitely. I definitely plan to.
Oh, I'm so glad that you came back to say that. That's so great.
So thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
And we have another caller from area code
908. Hi, it's Linda Sherry.
Oh, Linda, nice to hear your voice.
Oh, this was just my very first Christmas gift tonight. This was so great. Really. Thank you guys so much. The love list, you had told me about that before, and I'm giving my three children, that's one of their gifts this year, and I just think that's such a beautiful gift to give someone, both as the giver and I'm sure as the receiver. I think it's going to mean a lot to them. And this exercise we just did was just really just very powerful and perfect timing. Like, was that Nancy that was just on? Was that Nancy that just spoke?
I think that was Sarah. Was that you?
Oh, sorry.
Well, we don't know because they're all muted.
Oh, from Colorado.
Yeah, I think it was.
But right. So I feel the same way, that it's perfect, perfect timing. Every year since my oldest is 25, and since she was a baby, and then I just kept having babies, the holidays have been stressful as a mom with young kids. And I think I got so used to the stress of that period of time between Thanksgiving and the end of the year that I didn't enjoy it. And I don't like that I didn't enjoy it. And my kids love it. I didn't. And this year I kind of noticed that I was putting this stress on myself that was unnecessary and made a decision that this was going to be a really stress-free, I was going to get everything done with plenty of spare time. It's amazing what that did. But this exercise just now with, you know, wishing for things we have, that just really, I just feel like I catapulted to a stress-free holiday. So thank you so much for this call tonight. I loved it.
Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so happy that you were here and that you came in and told us about your experience, Linda. That is just so great. And I love that you're doing Loveless for your kids.
Me too. Oh, I'm so excited about it.
Oh, yay.
And
also, I just love what you said about really, really consciously working to have a stress-free holiday season.
It's amazing what that's done. Just like me deciding it's going to be nice, it's going to be calm, it's going to be easy. It's going to be all the things that I felt that it hasn't been. Just thinking those thoughts has made it that.
And you know what? What I immediately comes up for me, too, is what a gift that is for everyone you're around. You know, including people at the stores, your children, you know, people that anyone you're coming into contact with. It's just, I think it's the best gift that we can give people.
Yeah, it's going to be a really good holiday. But really, thank you both, Mark. This was great and perfect timing. Perfect.
Yay.
Do it again next week.
Linda, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your story. I really was touched by you sharing a love list with your children as well. As a very active father of three-year-old twins, anything about children and helping to develop your children in a strong manner always feels good to me. So when I hear you teaching them the importance of a love list and making them aware of what they love, it's very, very nice to hear that. So.
Oh, thanks, Mark. And it's fun to do, and it's probably, Sherry, the work you're doing is just so important. I think it's probably going to be something that my children will do with their children. I mean, they just, don't you think?
I love that. Well, I can tell you one of the things is that my son and I have made many a love list together, like, you know, so especially for his grandparents. And that's another thing, you know, I didn't think to say, but of course you can do this, you know, in conjunction with your children. And it's just so much fun to do. And I think it really does, it is models for them, you know, looking, you know, again, looking to the light.
Yeah. But this one about wishing for what we already have was really, and what I found was I was writing things, like you mentioned, the running water, and I wrote about all, I have you know, the extra bedrooms for overnight guests and things that I just take for granted. But I found I was kind of mixing in fantasy also with reality. Like when it came to money, I was like, I was so happy I had all this extra money for the gifts I needed to buy still, you know. And it was like mixing them both together, reality and fantasy. So very, very good. I'm going to be blogging about this, Sherry.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yay.
Great.
Yeah, one of the things, Linda, that you reminded me of is when we did this call last month, somebody made the really great point that, you know, language is so important. And by saying, it's different than a gratitude list. I mean, gratitude lists are very similar, right? But there's something about when we use the word wish for and then we see that we have it, it's like a gift of all anew. And I think that that's the thing that I love so much about this exercise is it's like, I wish for, I got it. You know, it's that I think our something in us naturally kind of goes to that place of, oh, I got this gift, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
I love that piece of it. And I, you know, I can't take any credit. My son's the one that inspired the whole thing. So.
Oh, well, you gave birth to him, so I think you can. Pretty sure you can.
Thank you so much, Linda.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
And have a good night.
Oh, it's so fun. I feel so grateful. I mean, it's wonderful. You know, Mark, I was thinking, like, it's wonderful just to show up, and if it were you and me, that'd be great, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it's such a treat for me to actually get to hear from people and to, you know, to know, you know, that things might be working for people or have been thought-provoking or whatever like that. It's such a gift.
I really enjoyed hearing from people that are following you and following your blogs and following your work the way that I do, and that they get to actually interact with you here.
Yeah, that's fun too. I love that. I know. I'm just wondering, I just wanted to put out again, I know we're over time, but if anybody feels like, you know, they want to join in, I'm actually perfectly fine on time. I have the whole night. Just wanting to give the chance if anybody did have anything they wanted to say.
I don't have anybody else coming off of mute, so I think we're okay.
All right. Oh, Mark, I'm so grateful to you for, you know, just organizing the whole Transformation Summit, and I think you're going to tell people where they can access all the different speakers, right?
Absolutely. In fact, I want to thank everyone that's on the call and anyone that's listening to this recording for investing this time in yourself. Our message is together we can change the world by changing ourselves. So I really appreciate your desire for personal development and encourage you to visit our website, www.personaltransformationsummit.com. Check out the other speakers and their presentations. They're grateful to hear your comments and suggestions, and if you want to reach out to them, they're there to support you just as we are. I also want to thank you, Sherry, for your time, energy, and everything that you do.
Oh, yay. Yeah, and I wanted to add that all of those recordings are up on your site, and they're absolutely free, which I really appreciate, Mark, that aspect. And I just wanted, before I forget too, I kept saying to people I would give you the URL if you wanted to find out some more, like, sort of Loveless presentation ideas, and that's simplycelebrate.net/love. And if you have any problems or anything, you can always, you know, or you even have questions, you're working on something, you want some new ideas that aren't on there, you can always email me at sherry@simplycelebrate.net. I love hearing from people when they're creating these amazing gifts.
And that was my next question. I wanted to make sure you reemphasize your email and your website. That's everything that
I think
we wanted
to
go over.
I'm reluctant to hang up. I've been just in such a delight to be here with everybody. But thank you all so much.
And I'd also actually like to say, because we are going to be continuing to do a lot of work together over the years, and our next summit will have information coming out by the very beginning of the year. So anybody who is registered at Personal Summit or personaltransformationsummit.com will get updates at the beginning of the year for the speakers. We're going to have probably about twice as many speakers in the next summit. And we really want to hear ideas from the listeners about the information that they want to hear, because a lot of speakers like you speak on many different topics. So we're very curious to hear what transformational topics people would like to hear about.
Oh, that's great. Yay! Well, I'm with Linda. Let's all have a really stress-free and connected holiday season.
Absolutely.
Oh, you're
Thank
still
you
there. Hello.
I'm still here. Thank you so much. It was a great call.
Oh. Okay, good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thank you all. Namaste.
Namaste, Mark.